Dying Blood Bond. I am Holy Ghost taught. I'm redeemed. I've been set free. Oh, I'm Blood Bond. I am Holy Ghost taught. I'm redeemed. I'm free indeed.
Shalom. This is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast, and today we are offering you a Billy Brim classic, one that was made years ago in my ministry. I trust it'll bless you.
I don't have it with me tonight, but there is a piece called Europe, the New Dark Continent, that you can get off Pat Robertson's website. And on that Europe, the New Dark Continent, it says that, and I definitely believe that Europe is the darkest continent right now. It's not Africa, it's Europe. And Europe, the New Dark Continent, they had taken a poll in London and in all of England. And in England, less than 0.5% of the people that live in Great Britain, less than 50% could name one of the four Gospels. Just name Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. Amsterdam, less than 10% of the Dutch knew why we have Christmas. They, in this survey that they took, the poll that they took, they asked them to name an inspirational figure. This was in the English poll. I think it was 60% said that the figure that most influenced us for good was Nelson Mandela. Number two, they put Tony Blair. I think he got about 15%. 6% said Britney Spears. And less than 1% said Jesus Christ, who was the inspirational figure that inspired us to good. Less than 1%. What is happening in Europe and this article, they're very afraid of us. They're afraid because we have a president who prays. They said that one of their greatest fears was they fear that he has been hijacked by television evangelists. And they are most fearful that he prays when he makes decisions of state. Isn't that an amazing thing? And they, hallelujah, bless the Lord. They're frightened of this one and of all of us who name the name of God and who have the Bible as our. They said they got past that 40 years ago, that Europe got free from these things 40 years ago. Now, Europe has a place in Bible prophecy. And that place in Bible prophecy, I think we can see it if we, first of all, let's just look at what Jesus said in Luke 21. In Luke 21, Matthew 24, Mark 13, his disciples had asked him, tell us when these things will be. Tell us when the temple will be destroyed and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age. And Jesus gave as the number one sign, he said this. Just to show you what it's about, we'll start with Luke 21, 28. Bless the Lord. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And he spoke to them a parable. Watch the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, you see and know of your own selves that summer is nigh at hand. So likewise, when you see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. They ask him for the sign of his coming, and he said, watch the fig tree, that's Israel. Keep your eyes on Israel. But as well as watching Israel, you watch all the trees. The trees of divine prophecy are the other nations. People say, why isn't the United States more in the prophetic word? Two-thirds of the Bible is prophecy. But in prophecy, God tells you that he gives you the end from the beginning. We weren't there in the beginning. We weren't there in those days so many hundreds of years ago, but other nations were. And when those nations come back up in Bible prophecy in the end times, then you can tell you're at the end times. Some of those nations are Iraq and Iran and Egypt and Libya and Russia and Europe. The place that is now called Europe. Now, we're going to turn and look at this from Jesus said here, Look at verse 24 in Luke 21. He's telling about when the Jews will be carried off from the destruction of the temple. He prophesied it in about 30 AD, and it happened in 70 AD. And he says of the Jews, verse 24, they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and they shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem, the capital city, shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. So there's a thing called the times of the Gentiles. The times of the Gentiles is a measurable amount of time in history. It began the times of the Gentiles when the Jews were dispersed in the first dispersion through Babylon, and it's going to end at the same time of the great image Nebuchadnezzar saw. I want you to turn with me to Daniel chapter 2, and we're going to look at this image. The first time that they were carried away, the Jews, if they had obeyed God and shown God's great power to the world like they were supposed to, then plan A was that they live in the land and demonstrate God. Plan B is he's still going to show himself through the Jews. He's going to scatter them throughout all the earth. The Gentiles will have rule over Jerusalem during the times of the Gentiles. And at the end of the times of the Gentiles, he's going to have all the Jews come back home. Bless the Lord. Now, the times of the Gentiles began with the Jews being carried off into Babylon. And when they were carried off into Babylon, there was a king of Babylon named Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. He'd taken some of the young, bright Jewish young men into Babylon. He'd educated them in the king's college. And one of those young men was Daniel, and then the three Hebrew children. And the king Nebuchadnezzar had this dream, and in his dream he saw a great image. And if you'll give me number 94, we'll see a kind of a drawing of what that image is. And let's look at Daniel chapter 2. And verse 27, Daniel 2:27, the king had asked the wise men, or he said, I'm going to kill you if you don't give me my dream and its meaning. And Daniel sought God to find the meaning. Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, and the soothsayers show unto the king. But there is a God in heaven that reveals secrets and makes known to King Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the last days, the latter days. We're living in the latter days. So the king at the first of the times of the Gentiles saw the whole period of the Gentiles and shows to us what will happen at the end of the times of the Gentiles when God sets up his kingdom. And here is Daniel's definition of what he saw. Verse 31. Thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image's head was of fine gold, and his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. You saw until, that's a time word, you saw until a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet, that were of iron and clay, and broke them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, the gold broken to pieces and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floor. And the wind carried them away that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This is the dream which you saw. And so we have here Babylon. He said to the king, look at verse 38, the end of verse 38. You are this head of gold, and after you shall arise another kingdom inferior to you, and another kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over the earth. And then there shall be a kingdom of iron. And so we see that God tells history before it happens. Later on, Daniel sees these same kingdoms, empires of the times of the Gentiles, and he sees them as beasts. And they really are quite bestial in nature. And so Babylon, the head, was the head of gold. It was overthrown by Medo-Persian Empire, the two arms of silver. And then the brass, or I think literally the Hebrew says copper, of the thighs were Greece, Alexander the Great and Greece. But that was overthrown then by the great Roman Empire. And the Roman Empire, which has these two legs of iron, when Daniel saw it as a beast, this is the most ferocious of all. this iron beast, this great iron beast that Daniel saw having teeth. And this Roman Empire with its iron legs, God said, is going to just sweep over the whole earth in a military manner, and it's going to, as we have seen that it did do. Now, out of the iron legs, and there are two legs. There's an eastern leg and a western leg. There were two legs of the Roman Empire. There's the western leg, which is Western Europe, and then there's the eastern leg that became the Byzantine Empire. And so the two legs of Rome, the iron legs, that represents Rome, powerful Rome. But powerful Rome went away for a while, and the Bible says it was the beast that was, and then it was not, but then it is again. This is what we hear over in Revelation. So the Roman Empire went away, it was not, but then it comes back again. And the Roman Empire, when it comes back, it's partly strong, partly weak, and it has multi-headed kingdom. Nebuchadnezzar saw it as toes, Daniel saw it as horns, John saw it as horns, but there's multi-heads to this Roman Empire. Now, the old Roman Empire was in the place of present-day Europe, and it was in the place of North Africa, and moving over into the eastern parts, some parts of Asia. And the European Union, which I'm just back from visiting, I believe is this old Rome revived. And from this old Rome revived, we find that a character in the Bible is going to have his headquarters there. And that character is the Antichrist. Now, the Antichrist. There have been many Antichrist spirits. Lester Sumrall said that Satan has had his candidate for Antichrist, the Antichrist, in every generation. But there is going to come a the Antichrist. I believe he's on the scene. Now, I don't think we're going to know who he is until we go out of here. We're that one that withholds him. But turn with me to Revelation, the book of Revelation, and let's look at chapter 17. Father, we just praise you and give you glory. And you will notice that this beast, John the Revelator also saw this beast. And you will notice, let's look at the end of verse 8. It's called the beast that was and is not and yet is. That's the Roman Empire. It was, then it went away, and now it's come back. And let's also look at chapter 13. Chapter 13 and chapter 17 speak of the Antichrist. I used to never, ever speak of the Antichrist. And then the Lord said to me, if you're going to be an end time teacher, and he'd call me to preach that Jesus is coming and talk about the end times, and he'd taken me to the places of the end time over and over. We've been to the Gaza Strip, I told you this morning, three times this year. We were there to the day that Arafat died. And so through no fault of our own, he has us in these places at amazing times. It's hard to imagine that I got there from a kitchen in Collinsville, Oklahoma, when he first spoke to me about the three groups of peoples, the Jews, the nations, and the church. But we see here in Revelation chapter 17, God told me, he said, it's all right. If you're going to preach about end times, you'll have to mention the Antichrist because he's a character. He's really even a sign of the Christ coming. I had heard someone say, I'm not looking for the Antichrist. I'm looking for the Christ. So I thought, okay, I'll never, never, ever mention the Antichrist. And then the Lord said, you're not going to be able to teach very well on the end times if you don't, because he's in the Bible. But don't bother about it, he said. Every single place where it mentions him at all, it tells you in the next few verses that he gets it.
Shalom, this is Billy Brim. I hope you enjoyed the classic that you heard today. Call us at 1-800-972-3447 if you would like to have a copy of it on CD. Shalom, shalom.